I'll be reading from Jude, verses 17 through 23 at the beginning of the sermon, and then I'll be reading Hebrews 10, 19 through 25 at the end of the sermon. Jude is a book that is not often read. Well, it's often quoted. The benediction at the very end is used more than probably any other benediction. But the rest of the book, we don't hear of very often. It is not an easy book, but it is a very challenging book, but it is important. For this message that God chose to include in his word is one of warning. It's a warning that we need to heed. The beginning of the book of Jude, the first number of verses, it's a single chapter book, so you don't have to say Jude 1, you just say Jude and then the verse number, but that's not really important right now. But what is important as we look through this is, as my Bible heads the section beginning at verse 3, the sin and doom of ungodly people. Not a happy title, but it's in God's word. And there are warnings throughout this book of those who come into the church, who come into the church with false teachings, with teachings that would lead people away from biblical faithfulness, lead people away from a relationship with God that encourages and strengthens them, lead people away from fellowship with God and with each other. And the author wants to make sure that we are aware of these threats and address them. So, I'll begin at verse 17. Dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. But you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Be merciful to those who doubt. Save others by snatching them from the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. There was a study done. Now? Yes. There was a study done a number of years ago of American prisoners of war who had been ultimately released and who were back in the States, and they were asked, and they discerned, what was the harshest punishment? What caused the greatest despair? What caused the greatest pain? And it wasn't any physical punishment. It wasn't any physical thing. It was solitary confinement. They went on to discover that any social punishment caused the greatest pain, caused the greatest level of despair. If the personnel kept changing so that you couldn't establish friendships, that caused despair. If they were separated from those who had given them friendship, that caused despair. And it was interesting to note as well that soldiers were not sustained primarily by faith in their country or the rightness or cause for which they fought. They drew their greatest strength from the close attachments they had formed to the small military units to which they belonged. Now, what does this have to do with us? Well, according to God's word, we are in a battle. According to God's word, there is an enemy. According to God's word, there are numbers of forces that are working to pull us away from God, who are working against us. And it's interesting, is it not? We tend to think if we fill our minds with enough truth that we'll be solid, that we'll be good. If we believe strongly enough in the truth of the gospel, that we'll be good. And there's truth in that. But the greatest source of strength that I have is you. And the greatest source of strength that you have is each other. For it is the community within the church, even more than the rightness of our theology, that encourages us in our walk with God. And so it is important for us to nurture that community, to nurture our relationships with each other, which then in turn nurture our relationship with God, if they are done correctly. First Peter, we're looking now at the enemy of our souls, and it is in the book. There is an enemy of our souls. This is sort of forgotten in our world today. We tend to think that everything, all ideas are equally valid, even within the church. People have one sense of things, and someone else has another sense of things, and we think, oh, that really is not the best idea that person is following. But we let them go, because there is a sense in our world today that all truth is valid, everything is equal, everyone's on the same secure footing. And yet, if we're going to trust God's revealed word, we will discover that there are very dangerous ideas, there are very dangerous concepts, and there are very dangerous, sorry to say, people. Because there are people who will adopt an idea that is very unbiblical and bring it into the church, and those who are not careful will follow this idea, and they can, according to God's word, follow it away from God. Sinful desires, according to 1 Peter 2:11, sinful desires wage war against our souls. 1 Peter 5:8, the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jude points out the danger of the false teaching. These people turn the grace of God into a license for immorality. The grace of God opens to us relationship with God. And it is only by the grace of God that we can come into fellowship with God, especially, we know this, of course, but especially as we celebrate the Reformation, we are reminded of these truths of salvation being by grace alone, through faith alone. And yet, it's not a once and done kind of thing. It's not pray a prayer, sign your name, and you're in. That grace calls us into a relationship with God, and then that relationship with God calls us to live a life that's different from what we lived before, a life that's different from those who are not in relationship with God. And that's what Jude is pointing out here. And he writes, these false teachers turn the grace of God into license for immorality. These false teachers follow their base instincts. The psalmist in Psalm 73 says, when I was falling away from God, when I was looking at things around me to gauge my sense of value, my sense of purpose, I became like an animal. I became a brute beast. Because it's a relationship with God, it's God's Holy Spirit at work within us that makes us more truly human, that guides us into a deeper and higher level of existence, for we are called into relationship with God. And when we lose that relationship with God, we get more and more base, more and more animalistic. That's not to equate people and animals, but it's a warning that if we're not careful, we lose what makes us truly human. We lose our relationship with God. And these people, following their base instincts, not following the Holy Spirit, were becoming more like animals. Proverbs 3:5-6, probably you know this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge God, and he will direct your paths. Don't trust your own rationality or your own instincts. We're told to do that in our culture all the time. But that's by people who don't know or who refuse to acknowledge that God has revealed truth, that God has revealed a way to be in connection with him and with each other. These people deny Jesus as sovereign and Lord. They say Jesus is a nice teacher, Jesus is a good man, Jesus is someone worth emulating. But if Jesus is not God's son, if Jesus is not God incarnate, if Jesus is not fully God, fully human, he is not our Savior, and there is no reconnection of humanity with God. For Jesus Christ is the way that God has reached into this world to connect humanity with himself so that we can experience that connection. And if we deny that, how can we have a connection with God when we deny the very connection that God has provided? These people speak abusively against what they don't understand. And then some images among them, waterless clouds. In other words, you're in dire need of rain. A rain cloud comes through and passes by. Wandering stars. You need direction. You're looking to the sky for navigation, and the star just goes all over the place. It doesn't help you get where you're going. That's what these people are, according to God's word in Jude. They are not helping people maintain or establish their relationship with God. And in this passage that we read, we find that they're grumblers, they're fault finders. All of this energy from the enemy, from sinful desires that work within us and from the world, are working to pull us away. And we need each other to pull us back, to pull each other back in fellowship with God. Hebrews 3, 12 to 14 says this, "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if indeed we hold our original conviction firmly to the very end. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion." And that's a reference to the earlier part of Hebrews chapter 3, and which is a reference to a passage in the Old Testament where the children of Israel were taken out of Egypt. God provided for them for 40 years, and yet they turned away. And the scripture says they did not enter the rest that God was providing for those who trusted him. Let us not be those who fail to enter the rest that God has provided for us, but encourage each other. The church that truly grows is the church that desires for the presence of God and enjoys the presence of one another. If we are going to be true, if we are going to be truly faithful, these things that we've learned about ourselves through the natural church development process, these things that we have been working on, have to be true of us. We have to be people who care about each other. And we have to care about each other in light of caring about each other enough to guide each other in our relationship with God. And we have to develop a passion for that relationship with God. That is what the church is about. That is why the church was established. This is why Jesus Christ came into the world, that we might have fellowship with God. John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know God." And that's just not knowing about God. That is experiencing God. That is having a relationship with God that motivates us, that excites us, that gives us peace when we need peace, that gives us energy when we need energy. It's a relationship with God that strengthens us and redirects our lives toward God's eternal kingdom. A lot of times we develop programs, we do one thing or another as the church, we get together for meals or whatever it might be, and those are wonderful things, but if they are not guiding us in our relationship with God, if they're just a program for program's sake or fellowship for fellowship's sake, they're not doing what the church is called to do, which is to direct each other toward God. So what Jude says to do, discern and then act. These last few verses here before the benediction. Verse 22, be merciful to those who doubt. Be careful to figure out where a person's coming from. Are they a rebel? Are they trying to run from God? Or are they just wondering, just questioning, just doubting? If they're just doubting, to be harsh with them will send them into despair. But be merciful to those who doubt. Encourage them. As you see someone maybe getting pulled away from a true relationship with God by some worldly thought or by something, some sin, be merciful. Draw them back with words of encouragement, with words of hope, with words of truth that we find in God's word. Save others by snatching them from the fire. In other words, grab them. There are some things that people might be about to do that are what could be so deadly for them spiritually. We care enough to pull them back. I was talking to a friend the other day who struggles with addiction. She goes, sometimes when the only thing that's going to get me is a kick from someone who cares about me. Someone, and it's not a literal kick, don't be saying I'm telling you to go kick people. It is a word that isn't easy, but it's shared in love, but it's a word of warning, a word of care. And then, to others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. And the commentators say this means be careful, always be merciful, no matter where the person is coming from. Be merciful to them, care about them, do all of your correcting with love. But realize that sinfulness is dangerous and you want to avoid it. It's very important that people who are strong in one area help those who are weak in that area. Someone who's very weak in one area going in to try to help someone else might fall. And Jude warns us against that. He says, be very careful when you enter into someone's life that you have a real strong hold on your walk with God. And do not let yourself be pulled in, but help the other be pulled out. Mark 13:13, Jesus says, those who endure to the end will be saved. And there are a number of other places like that when we hear about entering into the rest of God, the peace of God. There are many places that warn us. It is foolish for us to disregard those warnings. Scripture tells us to take them seriously. And I know a number of you, and I did too, grew up with that fire and brimstone preaching, and you say, I don't want any part of that fear-mongering. And it is much more wonderful to be confronted with the love of God, the acceptance of God. But at the same time, it is our choice then, responding to grace, to continue to respond to grace, to continue to build our walk with God. to resist falling away. And that happens when we enter into relationships that encourage us, that strengthen us. Because no matter what the world today says, being a lone ranger, being a self-made person, being someone who is strong only in herself is a myth. It's a fallacy. It is wrong. Because you cannot be as strong by yourself as you can with others. You just cannot. And we were created to be in relationship. And God tells us throughout his word that we need each other. And we don't just need each other to hang out with, but we need each other to encourage each other to be faithful in our walk with Christ, in our relationship with God. That fire and brimstone preaching says, you're going to go to hell if you do this or that. Well, let me just say it in a different way. Everything that pulls us away from God, sinfulness or wrong thinking, wrong understandings of God, rebellion, every choice we make like that is a choice for hell. Because if hell is the absence of God, and we are shutting God out of our lives, are we not choosing hell over God every time we choose against God? It's a challenging thought, but I think it's worth our consideration. Scripture has a beautiful word for the fellowship that we share. This word is koinonia. You may have heard it before, but it means intermingling. It means interdependence. It means mutuality. When we enter a relationship with God in Christ, we are connected to him and therefore connected to each other. We share in each other's lives, and we need to live that out. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only what is good and building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Jonathan, when David was between a time of betrayal and then treachery coming up, in 1 Samuel 23:16 it says, Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David and strengthened his hand in God. We need to strengthen each other. And in closing, I'll read that passage from Hebrews chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.